All right, it is 11 a.m. on a weekday morning, and we have a very semi-alert Black Christmas in the studio with us. Mm-hmm. And we're getting by on Break Room Coffee right now, and we're about to give a listen to a brand new CD, which is exciting because it's been a couple years in the making, and the name of it is By Way of Decay. Yeah. We have two members with us in studio today. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
I'm Dalen Horner, and I play guitar, mainly.
I'm Nathan Whitman. I play bass, always.
And just for the record, can you tell us about everybody who is not with us this week?
Mark Sanders, guitar. Renata Castagna, keys and guitar. And Tony sitting up. Drums.
Renata also has a band called Samothrace, which is doing a CD release this week. So it's kind of like, everything's kind of coming together.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Just in time for winter.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you guys are doing this on Halloween, I have to imagine that's at least a bit intentional.
Sure.
Well, our first show was on Halloween. It was kind of planned out that way. And so it seems kind of appropriate, I guess. Maybe not, but it's kind of a horrible night, I suppose, to try to sell records. But, you know, in the spirit of things, I guess it's cool for us.
You could put them in, you know, little baggies and hand them out or something.
I think that's the plan, actually.
That's actually how most people are purchasing music these days, little trick-or-treat baggies.
Right, yeah.
I hear that's the, it's the future of musical distribution.
And why not? Yeah.
So what is it about Halloween? I mean, is there something particularly Halloween-y about this band?
I think maybe in the beginning there was. You know, I think we formed in August 2004. And I think by the time we got our shit together to play live, it was October. And we thought...
the witching season.
Yeah, I was like, let's do it on Halloween. And we did.
Dalen, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean... Halloween, at the time when we were getting everything together, I mean, that seemed to be like our goal, like the point of when we were going to actually do this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the sunk material off the record is from that, you know, point when we were writing, so.
Yeah, a lot of early stuff.
Now, what about Christmas, though? Do you think this band has more of an affinity for Halloween or Christmas? Mm.
That's a good question. I would say...
is there anything particularly Yule-ish? Or,
not really.
Chestnut roasting about this band?
We do the occasional waltz, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose it'd make a great gift. It goes well with diamonds.
Dalen, I know you used to be in a band called Santo Gold, which is apparently totally blown up within the last year.
They're huge.
It was on the marquee at Liberty Hall.
Lawsuits in order? Anything like that?
Not really. Apparently, she did the right thing, which was by combining the words, because we received a cease and desist from the guy that did the Blood Circus and Santo Gold.
So there was a third band called Santa.
No, it was an infomercial. It's like one of the very first infomercials where they hawked like cheap jewelry.
Ah.
And then the guy got busted for like all these credit card scams and.
Maybe he doesn't have the money to put together a lawsuit anymore.
Yeah. Well, apparently he does, but. Anyway, from when we even chose that name, I knew like instantly, like, if this guy ever hears about us, he's coming after us. So sure enough, like right when we were about to disband and Garrett was going to go to grad school in Illinois, all of us received emails from like a law firm saying, you know, either pay us or stop. Mm-hmm. So like we never even responded because we'd already stopped. But after I heard about, you know, Santo Gold, one word, Santo Gold, I was like, that's the trick.
Plus, she's got multi-platinum record.
Yeah, that helps, too.
That helps.
Yeah.
It's a major label support.
So let's talk about this record some more. It's called, again, By Way of Decay. Where'd the title come from, and how did it come together?
Well, originally, there were lyrics and vocals to the title track, which the name of the song obviously came from that, which is basically about, you know, getting to the bottom to see the top, really. You know, like the evolution of things. And
changing of the seasons.
Basically, yeah.
Winter into spring.
Kind of like the birds, that sort of thing.
How they work.
So it no longer has lyrics?
Lyrics didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how this band has always worked? Like, all songs written with lyrics that just don't end up making the cut? Or?
Well, we just chose not to put the vocals on them just because it was the only song, they're the only track on the record that would have vocals, and they weren't totally flushed out. So we actually print some of the lyrics that's on the artwork of the album, but they're not on there.
So, being an instrumental band and all that, was that a direction that you foresaw at the inception of this band, or has it just kind of felt more natural as things progressed?
Well, I think it was, when we first started, definitely the direction we were headed, but I thought we always had the potential or the want to have vocals eventually. I don't know, but 5 years later, we still doing instrumental.
See what Santo Gold is doing.
Yeah.
Maybe she'd get in on that.
We could have her lay down some tracks.
Lily Allen, one of those divas.
Yeah, it would be beautiful.
Beautiful.
When we first started, that's what I more envisioned. Like, if we were going to have vocals, have other people outside of the group do them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always thought it would be really cool to have Jeff and John from Dakar do, like, a vocal track or whoever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd talk to Will Whitmore one time about doing, you know, to explain to him like what was going on, and he was kind of down with it, which we never followed through on it, but just, you know, things like that.
Depending on which two influences one reads on your MySpace page, you're either influenced by Steve Perry and Rush or King Crimson and Yes.
Both.
See, Steve Perry was another idea.
Yeah, Steve Perry, we really wanted to get Steve Perry in the early days. He wasn't doing anything, you know. I don't think he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he did the soundtrack, or put together the soundtrack for Monster.
That's true.
He dates Patty Jenkins.
That's true.
You know,
that's
Laurentian.
What's that?
A Laurentian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that. Right there.
Right there.
She used to date Johnny Longhurst.
It's true.
Look at that. We'll be right back. So with the October 31st CD release show, you guys actually have a chance to sway the election, I think. Perhaps.
Yeah, that's the point.
Could be a battleground, you know. No, probably not.
A battleground show.
I don't think there's any battle in Lawrence for who's going to be elected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what do you guys think? You think you might make an impact in 08? Politically?
Politically? No.
Instrumental post-rock is the new Daily Show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know.
So talk more about the record. Where was it actually tracked, and how did you guys make this come together?
Well, we did the drums out at Black Lodge, and then told ourselves we would record everything else, you know, which we did, you know, on, you know, either at my house or wherever we had to be to record. It just took a little longer than we expected.
Mm-hmm. Like a couple years longer than you expected?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of things happen between, you know, the drum tracks and now to all of us. So, I mean, we've evolved as people a lot since then. So
how so?
Just, you know, Nate got married. Mm-hmm. I've been through personal things, you know, so has Mark. And
yeah, Renata with the same Thrace.
And, yeah.
You know, she's living in Philadelphia right now, so.
Really?
Lots of things.
So is there any sense of, like, you know, vindication putting this thing out, you know? Is there a kind of sense of relief or anything?
Big time. Big time. I think, yeah, I can't wait for it to come out. It'll be just a big relief to, you know, to see the thing, you know? But yeah, Dalen and I haven't even seen the packaged copies yet, so we're excited.
You're doing a vinyl release of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vinyl and CD.
Apparently it looks great.
Yeah. We hear it looks awesome.
But we also, when we recorded this, the intention was to record 13 tracks. And yeah. which we did record, but only 7 of them made, you know, the record, just because of the limitations of vinyl and quality of fitting everything on, you know, per side. Mm-hmm. So we still have 6 tracks that we're sitting on that are mastered. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. And I think those tracks go really well together. I don't necessarily think they need to be split up into 7 inches or anything like that.
16-inch records. That's the future.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Double 16-inch.
Yeah.
But so we still have those to go, as well as we just recorded Peace Now, which is this 2 30-minute track piece, which I guess you could call that a political statement in a way.
Even how so?
Just it was basically a retrospective on the Weathermen and the Black Panther movement and the revolution that went on.
Very timely.
Yeah, and it's really weird right after that, you know, Obama gets accused of, you know, knowing terrorists, which aren't really terrorists if, you know, you take a look at Watergate.
Mm-hmm. What were your impressions of, did you have any impressions of Bill Ayers before he even became like a name that was mentioned in the media?
Other than the Weathermen, no. I mean,
yeah. Why was that something that you wanted to explore artistically?
It was just, I just didn't really know much about it until, you know, we saw the documentary and.
Which one?
The Weathermen Underground.
Okay.
So, after seeing that, it was kind of blew my mind on just the things that, you know, the government can get away with, and
that there at one time there were people who actually, you know,
would stand up
for, you know, that stuff. It doesn't seem like you can get or start that big of a revolution now, mm-hmm. you know, to where it's.
So tell us about Peace Now, and I know you performed that at the Jackpot, just kind of like a one-off thing, right?
Yeah, Peace Now, that came about kind of weird. Our drummer, Tony, broke his wrist like 2 weeks before a show, and instead of canceling the show, we decided that we would just, for some reason, we decided we would just write a whole set with Mark playing drums and our friend Sean Bergman playing the second guitar. And so we have basically a three-armed drummer and, you know, Sean on guitar, Sean and Dalen on guitar. And yeah, that's how it started, you know, the music. And then
Mark Sanders has three arms?
Yeah, three arms. The other one's in the beard.
Just pops out spontaneously.
Simple grabs.
That's awesome. So is that something you think you'll revisit?
Yeah, Mark already says he wants to do it again next summer. We'll see.
You wrote a whole set in 2 weeks?
Yeah, we wrote 30 minutes. We wrote the first half, and we performed it at the replay, and then it went over so well, we thought, you know, that we decided to write a second half. And yeah, and then it just turned into basically a 150-minute song when it's performed, but it really breaks down into two parts.
Mm-hmm. So it's about. And what's the visual element to the show?
Well, the first part, like Nate said, we played the first part, and that was just basically wasn't really themed on revolution as much as it was themed on war. And then when we did the second part, it got more into the revolution aspect. So the first part visually is a lot of World War II footage.
Vietnam
and things like that. And then the second part is more in the country of what's going on the other side of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, you know, the idea that they had that if people are just going to turn their heads and not pay attention to what's going on outside of the country because they don't have to deal with it, bringing it into their backyards and see if, you know, they'll pay attention.
Was that kind of the hope for why you were doing it?
Not really. It was just more of a retrospective. It wasn't like we weren't trying to light a fire or anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, you know, didn't know, have come up to us afterwards and didn't know about all that. So I think it's cool, you know, that mm-hmm. people can get something out of it.
Was there anything particular you took away from learning about all that stuff?
I mean, not things that you don't already know exist in the back of your head, but it's the same way. Like, a lot of people just turned a blind eye to it.
To what exactly?
Assassinations by the government. And, like Fred Hampton. And basically, that's what their retaliation was about. It wasn't about as much the war as it was genocide going on in the country at the same time.
Cool. All right, well, on that light note, we'll get back to the music and keep rocking. This is the fifth song, and maybe if you guys could tell us a little bit about this one before we go back listening to it.
This is Facing the Fire is the name of this one. Yeah, it's about a face in a fire.
A couple of the tracks we kind of named after, like, Kansas folklore, like ghost stories. Like Sally the Man-Hater is about, you know, the Sally House in Atchison. And Facing the Fire is another Kansas myth.
What's that one? Can you relate a little bit of it?
It's just, I don't really know exactly where it is. But there is I don't even know how to describe it. I don't really know much.
Here, we'll listen, and then we'll come back. I know based on some of my conversations with you, Dalen, that a lot of your initial inspiration for some of this music was soundtrack films, particularly Italian horror films. Directors like Angelo Badalamenti, how do you pronounce it?
I say Badalamenti.
There you go. And, you know, Ennio Morricone, that sort of thing. Is that still true? And, you know, do you aspire to create music for films?
Eventually, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to do something like that.
So, John Waters, if you're listening, Christopher Guest.
Exactly.
Another romp, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what about that music captivated your attention?
It's just unique, creative, more so than in a pop sensibility, even though a lot of it does have a lot of aesthetics to it that are popular, I guess. But it just seems like you have more freedom to step outside the box.
Mm-hmm. And I only mentioned two, you know, composers, or, well, one, I guess, Ennio Morricone, but who else would be, for further listening, what would you recommend? Goblin
for sure.
John Morris, who worked with Lynch before Badalamenti on that, like, the Elephant Man soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a unique record,
and basically we're talking like top down cruising the country records here, right? Like, you know, going to the dance,
right? Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Exactly.
I think the Twin Peaks television soundtrack is great driving music if you're on the road.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
And you want to crash into a black hole?
Pretty much. But I'm trying to, who else is there? There's, I don't know, Nino Rota, who did the Godfather soundtrack. I guess that's what I just really, I'm kind of drawn, I think, more to like the moody, dark, composers.
Cool.
More so than like John Williams or... Not that the Imperial March isn't dark.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That is pretty doom rock, if I do say so. What about as far as opportunities? Has anything arisen for you?
I've talked to a couple of guys in town that do documentaries that I don't know if they're really that interested in letting us do anything, but they're kind of interested in what we do anyway, so that's a start. But
yeah, maybe things will arise with this, the release of this record.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if the Jayhawks go on another March Madness tear, you guys can do the music for the 2009 title DVD.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know?
March to the championship.
March to the championship.
Black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
Waltz to the championship.
Are you still playing any accordion? Speaking of waltz, wasn't that on some of your early recordings a little bit?
Yeah. We haven't really incorporated it into any of the stuff we've been working on lately. I've always been into the idea of just putting in as much instrumentation as you can, like just different sounds like Glockenspiel and accordion and pedal steel and sleigh bells.
Slayer bells.
Exactly.
But yeah, no accordion lately.
Okay. Band is still a five piece, but with Renata in Philadelphia, has that been?
We did Peace Now, and she was, when we did that, she wasn't a part of it. So that was keeping us busy up until recently, and so now we're just, you know, we played one, maybe a couple shows as a four piece since then, and it works all right on some of the stuff. She'll be back for our Halloween show though.
So. Cool. What do you got planned for that Halloween show?
I guess we're going to play the record.
Alert. Play music.
Yeah.
We're going to play the record and a couple of Halloween favorites, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll be doing the record all the way through.
Cool. Halloween favorites.
Maybe some covers.
Like the sort of like thing you might hear in a boombox, like outside of a house when you're trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Or like... I think we're doing the Monsters theme.
Sounds of Terror.
Really? Doing the Monsters theme? Because that would be awesome.
You never know.
You're not going to do that, are you? I can see by the look in your eyes.
Wait, you just gave me a great idea.
That is a great idea. That's a great idea. All right, so we're actually on the final piece on the record, and maybe give a little introduction for it.
Mm-hmm. This is By Way of Decay, title track. It's got a bona fide country legend on it.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I opted not to play pedal steel on the record. I just let my dad do it. He's the pro. So.
Cool.
So he plays pedal steel on this and on Facing the Fire.
Yeah.
He did a pretty good job.
So tell us about his background.
He played when he was younger. He played with like Lefty Frizzell, Ray Price, Hank Thompson, Roy Clark. So
being around, was he around here at the time?
Oh, he lives in Oklahoma. So he drove up to play on it. I asked him if he would do it when before we started recording it, and he said he would, and I called him on it. So
that's, I mean, those are some big names. Was that how he made his living mostly?
Until I came along, yeah. But he still plays. He plays, you know, does session work and does like shows, one-off shows and stuff.
Yeah, he was supposed to play our CD release, but he couldn't make it up.
Mm.
Drives a school bus.
What's his name?
Jerry Horner. Yeah, he was in the Cherokee Cowboys with Ray Price when Willie Nelson played bass.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Willie started out as a bass player.
Yeah, he sold Nightlife to Ray Price when he was in that band.
The song, Nightlife.
Nightlife. Apparently for $200.
Quite a bargain.
I'll say.
At the time, a little bit more, but still.
Yeah, he has some funny stories just about that whole scene.
So what does he think of your band?
He likes it. It's weird that the stuff that he really seems to take a liking to is like more of the ambient stuff, which is I would think would be the opposite, but I don't know. I just think he likes that texture, being a pedal steel player.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is this him right now? Can you hear it at all, or does he kind of come in later?
No, actually, that's Mark on lap steel.
Gotcha.
Pedal steel track doesn't come in on this song until a little bit later.
Okay.
Sounds more like a theremin than a pedal steel, but...
Really? We'll listen in a little bit.
Yeah.
So your old bandmate Kelsey from Santo Gold is helping put out this record a little bit, and if all goes according to plan, maybe he can sell a song to Ray Price for $200.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully Ray would be interested.
But that hot pedal steel lick, it's hard to pass.
Exactly. That's the hook.
That is the hook. Well, that pretty much concludes the album. Again, it's called By Way of Decay, and it will be celebrated on the 31st at the Jackpot. And what is the name of the label that Kelsey runs?
Bad Age.
Cool. Kind of his first first release, huh?
Yeah. He's excited. We're excited. Should be good stuff in the future, too.
I imagine maybe go up to Chicago and play a few shows at some point.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I think, yeah, he was saying something about another CD release show up there, so watch out.
Watch out. All right, guys, thanks for bringing in the record. It was awesome to hear it. It sounds great.
Yeah, and, thanks for having us.
Good luck on Halloween.
Thank you, thank you.
All right.